Okay, welcome back. Another edition of Friday's Five.
Friday the Five.
With TNT.
Well, that was fun.
Welcome back to the COVID edition.
Post-COVID edition, Friday's at Five.
Yeah, so Tana got COVID.
I don't know how that's possible. I feel like I'm the only person in this whole fucking town that still wears a mask everywhere they go.
Yeah, you're way better about it than I am, and than anybody else in the world, probably, or at least in our area of the world. So
we don't go out to dinner. We don't go out to bars. We don't go hang out places anywhere. We don't even go hang out at friends and family's houses.
Not often. I have done all those things, not frequently, and
more than I have.
Absolutely, and. We are still very cautious about it. I wash my hands a lot. But, yeah, you got COVID. And
you didn't.
I did not.
Okay, so here's the thing. We're going to break it down without giving away too much information, just simply because of, I guess, privacy or whatever. But
mm-hmm. I mean, we have HIPAA rules. Not really, but no. We're not an employer, so no.
Out of respect for certain people.
Sure.
So Monday before Thanksgiving, well, rewind.
Even before then, yeah.
Sunday, you went to the grocery store. Sunday before Thanksgiving, you went to the grocery store.
Yeah, Sunday, the weekend before Thanksgiving, we had a lot of stuff going on. We were getting stocked up for the grocery store thing.
We wanted a grocery shop before all the Thanksgiving grocery shoppers.
Yep.
Went crazy.
And I don't even remember what stores I went to. I think I made multiple stops. I was getting Thanksgiving supplies for us as well. So
even though we weren't,
I was still gonna. Yeah, I was gonna cook a Thanksgiving meal for us, but we weren't having.
We were having like a turkey and stuffing and
yeah,
all that stuff.
We were still having a meal for Thanksgiving, but yeah.
So you went to the store on Sunday and you came back. And then I also want to say I had really got back into the gym about 2 weeks before that. So, and we'll get to it later, but my cousin opened a training studio in Lee Summit, Missouri. And so I scheduled a one-to-one training session with her. And I thought, oh shit, I better get into shape. I have like 2 weeks to get into shape before I meet with her because she's going to kick my ass. She competes in like fitness competitions, bodybuilding types of things. And, you know, for those of you that know what that is, you'll understand. But basically, she lives a really clean, healthy bodybuilding lifestyle. And so if you've ever trained with a personal trainer, those kinds of trainers are a little bit, they just train you. They just kick your ass in the gym. I did not puke on my first training session with her. But okay, so Monday.
Clearly we're going to get into it way more than a little bit. Skip over it. Let's go to the COVID part.
Monday. Oh, you went to the store Sunday. Mm-hmm. Monday morning, I went somewhere and I sat in a waiting room. And now I almost never, ever, ever sit in the waiting room. And if I do, there's almost never anybody there.
Mm-hmm.
This particular Monday morning, I sat down and there was a lady there. And we both sat in there for maybe 5 minutes. And she was telling, and just small talk.
She was another
person
waiting for services as well.
And she had a mask on, and this particular place, they require masks and gloves and everything, so they're very careful. But we did sit in the waiting room together, and she's telling me how she literally just got back from Germany. She's like, I mean, I literally just got back from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, how was that? And she said, they're shutting down again. So she said she had to test negative twice, 2 days in a row, in order to get back into the country, in order to get back in the U.S., but that they required vaccination cards in a lot of places, and that COVID was getting so bad again, they were shutting down again. So this is Monday morning at 9:30 a.m. Monday afternoon, I went to the gym in the basement, and like I said, my cousin's a trainer, so she wrote me a program for at home. So I did her leg program that she gave me. And let's just say it's a lot harder than I would do by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my legs and I was like, you know, usually when I do that 20 minutes later, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to be sore.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of was like sore and tired, whatever. Tuesday morning, got up and I felt sore. And I kind of just thought, it's just legs. I haven't worked out that hard for a long time. Didn't really think anything of it. The only thing that was strange about that day was that, you know, when you wear a hat on your head for a really long time and it hurts to move your hair, mm-hmm. like guys would know that.
Right.
But also when you have the flu or something.
Like when I had hair, I
remember that. Yeah, you might not know that now, but well, you just gave yourself a haircut. So, you know, yesterday. Or like girls, if even some guys, if you wear a ponytail for a long time and then you take it out and you move your hair around, it just hurts to move the hair on your head. So that's it. That's all. I was just like, well, that's kind of strange, but I am really sore. I was still kind of sore from upper body that I'd done over the weekend. Didn't think anything of it except for that was kind of strange. I also, because my legs were so sore Tuesday morning, I did like an easy 30-minute walk on the treadmill, thinking I'll just loosen them up.
Right.
And after that, my lungs kind of burned a little bit. And it's not uncommon for me because since of my tick-borne illnesses, I've had some lung issues. And when I work out or I talk a lot or whatever, they get really tired. And so I feel this kind of like burning thing in my chest. I've had it for years. Didn't think too much about it. Tuesday afternoon, you had your colonoscopy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So we talk about the side.
Totally forgot about that. Yeah.
So we went to the same place that I went for my colonoscopy.
Yes.
You didn't have the same nurse and you didn't have the same doctor.
Nope.
But we did see both my nurse and my nurse anesthetist.
Right.
So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And we were,
I mean, it wasn't fun per se, but we did see those people. Yes.
We were
sure trying.
Now in that waiting room,
there's a lot of people.
I did sit after they took you back. I did sit there maybe 10 feet from this other lady who was coughing into her mask. And you know, at that moment I was like, Oh geez. But I don't think that was ground zero. I think Germany lady was ground zero. So took you home and whatever. Tuesday night, I was getting pretty sore. Wednesday, I had to go travel for work. And by Wednesday afternoon, about 1 o'clock, I was like, canceled my last appointment. I've got to get home. And by Wednesday night, I had a fever.
Yeah, it hit you pretty quickly. We're just talking, you know, anywhere from 24 to 48 hours, you had a fever.
I started getting really tired Wednesday morning, and I thought, well, I just worked out really hard, and I have chronic fatigue, so.
And you got up early to go to your appointment.
Uh-huh. So. Maybe I overdid it, and I'm just tired, and I hadn't been sleeping very well, and, you know, it just, I had an excuse for all of it, except for the hurting to move my hair. But by Wednesday afternoon, I had a fever.
Yeah, so. We made it through Thanksgiving. I mean, you got sicker every day until
Saturday
is when I got the tests. I went and got them.
No,
Friday.
Friday.
I went and got the tests, yeah.
I didn't get out of bed the whole
time. No, yeah. We had Thanksgiving dinner on our card table by the TV room where we were sleeping.
This, it was a cold. And I was like, this is not a cold.
Well, I mean, in the beginning, it was a cold. You had not tested positive for COVID, so how was I to know it was anything but the flu, you know, like.
Well, we didn't, yeah, my cousin dropped off.
I'm no fucking doctor, you know. I don't even do that.
My cousin dropped off a test that she happened to have on Friday.
On Friday, yeah.
No, on Thursday.
No, it was Friday. I tried to go on Thursday on Thanksgiving Day and get us tests. And she came over and dropped it off on Friday while I was out getting tests. So, yeah, it's fine. I think that's what it was, but it doesn't matter. We got a test.
Well, I think she
and
got
you took it on
Thursday.
Friday.
No, I think she got it on Thursday because that test had a recall on it. Remember?
Oh, that's right. That one. I forgot about that.
Rolling your fucking eyes at me.
It doesn't fucking matter. What matters is you took it on Friday.
I took the test on Thursday and had a recall. Friday, you went and got a test.
Yes.
And Friday was the day.
I actually got a bunch of them on Friday.
You did. And Friday was the day that my fever was the worst. So Friday morning.
Yeah, it was bad.
I was hovering around 99, 100.3. I think at one point somewhere on Thursday, I got up to 101, but then it had dropped back down. So Friday morning, it was like 100.3.
Yeah, we were hitting it with everything, you know, hot baths and medicine and
supplementation
and I mean, we were giving it full court press, and the fever would come down a little bit on certain times.
Every time
and then
we took Tylenol or whatever.
Dayquil or whatever it was we had. Yeah. And then it would, a few hours, six hours later, it would start climbing.
And I could feel it.
Yeah.
So it was 100.3 Friday morning. And then Friday afternoon, well, I kind of just said, like, you know, that's okay. And I think at one point I even said to you, if it goes above 103, that's when I'll get worried.
Yeah.
And later that day, it went to 102.5. Mm-hmm. It spiked up within 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, it went from like 101 and something to 102 and something within just a couple of hours. I was actually out getting our either tests or supplies while that happened, and you were texting it to me.
I wondered if I was thinking of texting
yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
Well, then you think, instantly, you think, well, he shouldn't be out there going there. But you know what? We try to order tests online.
Just so you know, you can order groceries or even medicine from delivery services to bring to your home, like CVS. I mean, you got to check ID, but you cannot order a COVID, a rapid COVID home kit test because they run out of them so quickly, evidently, that they don't even sell them online. So we couldn't get it. So I had to go to the store.
They
had a choice.
They were hiding in the
They had everything behind the counter. Yeah. So at the CVS, at least near us.
Well, I mean, on Thanksgiving, we could have called friends. Problem that I'm sick in bed, like whatever. Anyway,
I mean, we're not going to talk about this a lot, but I'm vaccinated, so and I felt fine this whole time. So you know, I was masked when I went, you did have a cold until you took the COVID test, so we knew otherwise, right? Like you had something.
So
like
at my very worst,
cold is my general term for you're fucking sick with something.
At my very worst, I had 102.5 fever, and I took the COVID test, and it came out negative.
No.
Yes.
No.
Friday, it came out negative. And we're like, okay,
oh, yeah.
Well,
yes,
you just have,
was, yeah.
I just lived it, so let me help you remember.
Yeah. I was thinking it came out immediately positive.
No, Friday, it was negative.
It was Saturday that we tested.
It was not. It was Sunday.
Oh, wait.
We didn't get another test until Sunday.
Hmm.
Sunday, it came out positive within seconds, and you took off upstairs, and I haven't seen you until now, a whole week later.
Yeah, today's the first day, literally 1 week. Because I was basically like, when you're sick and I don't feel anything at all, like, I'm basically cooking for you and bringing stuff to you, and you're just in bed. Like, you're very, like, you have a fever this whole time, right? So other than, like, you taking medicine and stuff like that when I'm not around, or taking, you know, a hot bath or something like that, I'm pretty much just like cooking for you and trying to do a little bit to take care of you and, you know, what little I can, you know, take some more fucking Dayquil, take some more NyQuil. I'm like trying to just give her a gallon dose of NyQuil if I can. But,
oh, God, so gross. I only drink
that because
I couldn't choke it down.
Yeah. Once you got tested positive, I tested, so we both took the test at the same time. I tested negative, she tested positive. I basically was like, we're putting masks on right now, and we had always talked about living separately because we have the ability for her to live in the basement and me to live upstairs. And we're at least going to try to do that for at least a few days.
Was it 5 days before that when I was like, hey, we haven't talked about this for a while, but we need to have a conversation about our plan if COVID comes in the house.
Yeah.
I swear to you, it wasn't even a week before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
because you were getting sick, and we were like, you know, we probably should talk about it, but.
Well,
or maybe, oh, yeah, I guess it was the weekend
before.
Yeah.
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 I wasn't sick at all. It's just like every couple
Well,
months,
I had all
so
these.
I kind of like, we need to re-talk about this. But
I had some meetings on that Monday before Thanksgiving out of the house. That's the other thing.
Okay,
so,
thinking.
Or the Friday or something like that. Like I had some meetings, and so it was like I still have people that I go out and I meet with and things like that. And so I think we wanted to talk about it for that reason, because
I've gone to
some offices and stuff like that. So, well, yeah, which makes sense. I mean, to keep sort of talking about it, but we didn't really come up with like a plan, like a hard plan, other than we should separate a little bit and let you work through your cold, and I'll keep trying to take care of you. The unfortunate thing that happened was once you got diagnosed positive and we were both wearing masks and you lived downstairs with the dogs, basically, and the TV, the big TV, and I lived upstairs and worked up here. But I Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, probably even, I tried to cook for you as much as I could, but I was actually so busy those days that you ended up having to kind of take care of yourself quite a bit. So
I can't even tell you what
I did. We had a lot. I mean, I had stocked up on food, so we had stuff here, but you had to make your own stuff, and I wasn't able to make every meal for you, just maybe like one meal a day or, you know, kind of a thing. It shakes in the morning, and coffee and stuff like that.
Quarantine, like other people, you know, like I didn't, like we know.
We didn't isolate.
The one person isolated in the bedroom the whole time. We didn't do that. Yeah. You did my dishes. Like we kind of were sloppy about it, honestly.
Well, I was, one thing I was really, and still am really, really diligent about was I wash my hands and sanitize my hands a lot. And if I was on the main level of the house, other than in our bedroom, like where I'm sleeping by myself, basically, or in the shower or talking to you, physically talking to you, like on FaceTime or something, I had a mask on. And so I felt really like I'm at least masking up in my own house. I'm washing my hands a lot. That's, I mean, honestly, other than isolation, complete isolation, that's really all I could do.
That many dogs, but you know, and I didn't isolate from them either. And the one special cleft palate puppy that has had special issues her whole life kept putting her mouth on my straw. She kept trying to drink my coffee and my tea.
She loves drinks.
And I was like,
she likes wine, evidently. She likes beer.
She does like wine.
You can't leave an open drink. Yeah. Open mouth drinks, open glasses. She'll just drink right out of it.
She loves your socks.
She likes my socks, but your socks are much more accessible because you wear socks and I don't. I wear slippers. So she loves your socks. Yes.
And my sock this morning.
She did.
She pulled a sock out of somewhere this morning or last night. I still don't even know where it came from.
Yeah, she, you think every morning she comes up to see me. That's not really what it is. She comes up to check for socks. She does. She comes to the laundry room, she checks for socks, and then she comes to see me. And she coming to see me first to see if I have any socks. So, okay, well then I'll come snuggle with Poppy, I guess. Wake up, I need some socks. Hey, wake up. Where are the socks at, motherfucker?
Actually, I don't know. Not true. They had an accent at the end of it, but that's probably because it couldn't be. Okay, here's something else, though. So, Friday I tested negative, Sunday I tested positive. Now, Saturday night is actually the night that you sent me to the bedroom and said, go sleep in the bedroom without the dogs, just try to get a good night's sleep. And I woke up on Sunday morning with a nasty, wicked migraine on the left side of my head. And I had Lyme and Babesia years ago, and I lived with headaches every day for many, many years, like nasty headaches, sometimes really bad. It was the same kind of headache, same place. And I laid in bed. I mean, I couldn't even roll over to find my phone to text you, but I was just like trying to send you telepathic messages, like, please come and save me. I need headache medicine. Like, please come up here. And I waited for like an hour, hour and a half. Finally, you came in the bedroom and I was like, oh my God, you got to get me something.
I really thought I was doing a good thing by taking the dogs and letting you sleep by yourself. And then the next morning I got up at, it's a weekend, but I probably got up at like by 8 o'clock and I fed the dogs, fiddled around.
It's
quiet. I didn't even go upstairs and make coffee, nothing. I was like, I'm just going to let her sleep. And by about 9:30, I was like, maybe I should check on her because I've been awake for an hour and a half and not a peep. And you were crippled. You couldn't move.
I could not.
Yeah.
So here's the weird thing about that, too. At the same time as that nasty headache, It was the left side of my head felt very numb. A strange, like I could touch my hair, but like inside my head felt numb. I don't quite know how to describe it. It felt like I had fluid on my brain. I don't know what that feels like. That's just the only way I know how to say it.
You definitely, it is probably like fluid in your sinuses of some kind, which feels like fluid on your brain.
The side of my head.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
I mean, what they do say, some of those illnesses you get, like, is it encephalopathy or whatever? You get swollen brain. I don't know. You just go look it up.
Your brain did not get swollen. Well, I mean, there's a lot of room in there for water and fluid.
I'm just saying, it just felt
sloshy.
It did feel like I had water in my ear.
And I remember you saying
that. Like, I'm trying to chew. Get water out and it wouldn't come out. And then that night I had an orange,
mm-hmm.
and that was the last thing I tasted. And I woke up Monday and I have no taste and no smell still. And so now we are
a full week later. You can't taste anything. You smell?
Well, last night I had lavender essential oil and I had it in my hand and I put it up my nose and took a big whiff. And I was like, I almost smell it. But here's the other thing is, it's, you know, they talk about amputees having phantom, like my fingers hurt, but you don't have a hand anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've had phantom smells, phantom taste.
Your brain is telling you there's smell there, but you don't really smell it.
Yeah.
Well, your olfactory, I mean, the smell and taste are so connected that I'm not shocked you can't smell anything because you can't taste anything. Where's the line between those two? You know, like, who knows, but like often when you smell things that are really, really bad, you feel like you can taste them in your mouth, which maybe you can, but.
And normally I have a smell like a bloodhound. I smell everything.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
So I have essential oils that I've used, clear your airways. And when I breathe them in, I can feel them doing something.
Yeah.
But not smell the actual smell. But, you know, like also I had olives and I had dried apricots and I tasted, like I, in my mind, I can taste them, but you only get the texture. This is really trippy. So the other day.
You're going to talk about the onion?
Yes. The other day I made a salad and I put a red onion in there. And, I don't, for those of you that have had COVID and you lost your taste and smell, maybe you recognize this. I don't know, but textures are like my new favorite thing right now. I crunched into the onion and it squirted juice all in my mouth. And then it kind of melts and disappears. Like this juice squirts out and then it flattens and it's gone. And so you get this like juicy, squirty flavor thing, but no onion flavor whatsoever. So I don't think anybody really stops to pay attention to the texture that they're eating without also having the taste. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. We had a great conversation about this. And
why are you grinning like that?
I had a great, this is a great joke right here. I mean, this is a great sex joke right here. I'm just leaving it at that.
What is it? I've had a fever lately. I can't really.
You can't remember over the jokes. I know you can't. I'm not going there. No. So anyway, your COVID has been.
What you're saying is, well, I can't taste things. I should get on it.
Well, no. I was just saying it was just. No, I'm not. I'm still not. Just saying, you couldn't breathe anyway, so it wouldn't really matter. You can't.
That's exactly what my excuse. I can't breathe.
Yeah. So your COVID has been, I mean, I'm no joke, the worst of it was actually before you tested positive.
Yeah.
I mean, it you were really sick. Not, I mean, other than the fever being 102 or whatever, like, you weren't necessarily close to hospitalization.
No, but I had a ways to go before I would have said, okay, it's time to
intervene. I agree with that. I kept just being trying to be really positive about it. Because, like, you're not, I mean, you're sick, but you're not rush me to the hospital sick. Yeah.
No, you didn't.
I got a little worried on Thanksgiving Day because I was like, we couldn't get anything. You know, like there was no access to medicine or anything like that would help you. And so I just thought, man, without, you know, we had a bunch of Dayquil and a bunch of NyQuil, and that was an aspirin and stuff. And that was pretty much it. Right. And so I was like, well, without that, what do we do?
I would have been in bad shape.
Yeah, we had Tylenol, we had Aleve, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they say it all, Tylenol and ibuprofen.
Yeah. So if you really want to hit it hard, you don't have migraine medicine, you alternate those every 2 hours.
But on Sunday, I took Aleve, Tylenol, I took everything.
We'd gotten ibuprofen by that point because I had stopped. The one place that's open on a Thanksgiving Day night, the fucking, I didn't go to Quick Trip, but you know, convenience store. I was like, I'm buying ibuprofen at minimum ibuprofen here, you know? And so I bought that and lottery tickets, luckily. We went
you bought abundant scratchers and I didn't get to scratch anything and they were pink.
You were too sick.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. So I bought that. I don't think I bought anything else, but at least, okay, hey, look, fuck it. At least I got ibuprofen.
So as far as the symptoms, so we kind of went over like that kind of stuff, but yep. When I was really sick, I mean, you can still hear it. I have like sinus stuff a little bit now.
Sinus
I have a little
cough.
Bit of cough,
yep.
But,
and you're exhausted
but you know what?
And you can't taste. So you still have four things.
But most of last week, post Sunday, so Sunday was my last day I had a fever. So I haven't had a fever for a full 7 days now. I felt energetically really good, like better than I felt in months. And then I would get up to go to the bathroom and I would have to sit down and rest because I couldn't get, like you just can't get enough oxygen
so
going through your system.
Start with the early symptoms. Super achy joints.
Super achy, like a
exhaustion.
Flu. But I didn't get any nausea. I didn't get any diarrhea.
You got a little bit of nausea, but only
very,
because your
very,
headaches were so bad.
Yeah, very, very mild.
Yeah.
I just don't handle nausea well.
Yeah, that's like your kryptonite is nausea. So, achiness, exhaustion, headaches,
fever,
and then it moved into your congestion and respiratory.
And I didn't have anything in my head sinuses
until
the past few days, really. But I had, and I didn't have a dry cough. Like a lot of things that I read, they have a dry cough. I had a productive cough. I was able to cough all the time. But I don't think I ever went in.
No shit.
But I mean, I didn't go into crazy coughing fits that lasted 10 or 20 minutes.
No, but like you'd cough for a minute or two and I'd think you're going to fucking die, you know?
You did?
Well, they're like, no, but there'd be times where I'm like, Jesus. I'm not fucking going down there. there's no fucking way. So.
Well, here's the
thing. So just so we're clear, just right now, we're recording this. We both tested negative today.
This is day one negative test.
So 7 full days after testing positive, you are testing negative.
And we're 11-ish days from my very first onset of a
symptoms. Yep.
You know, looking back on it. So because I have been so sick previously for such a length of time, I feel like I know how to listen to my body and I know when it's telling me something. I may not always know exactly what it is, but like last week on Tuesday, mm-hmm. when I was so sore, I thought, I'm so sore, but you know what? Just in case, I started taking vitamin C, I started taking echinacea, I started taking...
Yep.
I upped my vitamins, my Bs. I did a B12 injections every single day.
Yeah. I mean, on that Tuesday, you were muscle sore from 2 workouts. But the entire day you said, I'm sore. I'm really sore. But this feels different. Repeatedly, all day long.
So. And you know what else is funny? So I go up and get up on Wednesday and my car was dead. And now I'm like, were they trying to tell me not to travel that day?
No.
The universe said, don't travel today?
No.
Because I potentially could have spread it to people. And that's
well, yeah.
That's the thing that pisses me off. So, My friend that I saw that day, I texted her after I kind of came out of it a few days later, and I was like, "Are you okay? Because I have COVID, and I, you know, I feel bad if I spread it around, not knowing these motherfuckers that go around testing positive and then they still go around everywhere. I just can't. Yeah,
testing positive, but they don't have any symptoms. They're carrying,
and then they just go still going out to the bars.
Well, that's the same way. So just so everybody knows, during the 7-day period. Mm-hmm. That Tana testing positive on a week ago, and today I have left the house one time, and that one time was to go buy us more tests so we can find out if she's negative. That's it.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, we do feel a little responsible for ourselves and of it also for other people in that if she is positive. I don't want to leave the house either, in case, not that I have it, but I don't want to spread
carrying it.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I feel like you could tell, I mean, theory.
Absolutely.
The false negatives have to be just, I think that there are way more false negatives than there are false positives. I know that because I know other people that have had the same thing. They tested negative, they traveled mm-hmm. around, 2 days later they tested positive, and then they have spread it through several states. Like,
yep.
It just...
Yep, we've taken two different home, quick kits for testing, two different ones, and
three if you count the one
if you count
recall.
Them, yeah, one that recall three different ones, and I will say this: there is absolutely a margin for human error in these tests,
for sure.
So if you just do it wrong because you're sick and can't do it well, or
hang that far up your nose,
or you're
fuck.
Illiterate and can't read the instructions, whatever. It's or just fucking you just do it wrong, you know. Like, they're really clear, they do a very good job of being very clear and drawing pictures and give you good instructions.
They do give you pictures,
yes,
you know,
absolutely, because you know they got to make it easy for everyone.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, like one of them, I mean, you're touching things, right? Like, and there's a margin for human error in there.
But
false negatives can happen when that human error occurs, you know, right? So
also, I think if you don't get it, look, man, when they say to you, this is why I wanted at-home testing kits. I'm not going and letting somebody stick that stuff. No. They want you to stick it up your nose an inch and a half. What did they say?
Half to three quarters of an inch.
My nostrils, I have big nostrils, but they're not that long. It is difficult to stick it that far up there without feeling like you're poking your brain out.
Right, right. It's not difficult, but it does feel like you're poking your brain out, no doubt.
Nobody wants to do that.
Nobody wants to do that. Yeah, you see the people on television that are doing those tests, and that thing's in there 3-4 inches.
Oh, my God. Really?
Like, I put it in there maybe a half or three quarters, and I felt like I was scraping my brain.
My nose was really dry, and then I did all that, and I gave you the thing, and then my nose just started running out of my face, and I thought, well, I should take that Q-tip back, stick it back up in my nose, because it's all running all over the fucking place. There's no way you'd get a false reading with that shit.
No doubt.
Okay, what else did we want to cover with this?
Well,
I'm just relieved that I survived because of my immune issues that... it's been very scary for me, and I kind of felt like this week when I felt really good, except for that the being super winded part, that I think that it was relief of knowing that I could survive, not get hospitalized.
No doubt. I mean,
I also feel like I didn't get a very bad case.
You definitely did not get a case that was like some of the others we've heard about.
Oh, for sure.
Right? I mean... And you're a bit of a hypochondriac at times because you do pay attention to your body so much more than anyone else does. And which means there's a lot of times it's just your body because you're 40 plus years old and things do hurt or whatever, and that you've been sick forever. So it's just you. And then you obviously react to that stuff way more than most people would. Now, the other side of this is you listen to your body way more than most people, and that's probably what helped you the most. You got ahead of it.
I
You started take. I mean, you take stuff on every day anyway, so you supplement yourself way more than most people do. But you also, when it came to this, started, you know, Monday and Tuesday. Yeah. So
and my doctor, when COVID came out, my doctor gave me his, you know, here's what I would do to prevent COVID or
from a supplementation
be ahead of it standpoint. Yeah. And so I followed that for this. We're almost at 2 years now. Mm-hmm. Or we've had it on hand so that we could start taking it.
Yeah. And then he did a good job. I mean, like I'm not speaking for him, but he specializes in immune care a lot.
He's an internal medicine.
Right. Focused on Lyme and he's been working with you for a long time. He understands immune deficiency. So when he said, like, even for me, I didn't get the vaccine for a long time and people criticized me for it and I really don't fucking care. I didn't get the vaccine until he said it was okay for you to get the vaccine.
That's true.
I didn't want to trust medical professionals because I didn't feel like they were getting all the evidence. But once I knew that someone like him, who is so serious, I mean, you've known him a long time and he's taken care of you for a long time. Once I knew that he felt like it was safe enough for you, I knew it was safe enough for me. And so well, that and I was going to Pittsburgh, so I was like, I gotta travel. So, like, I was like, well, I don't want to travel right after I've got the vaccine. I don't want to travel without the vaccine. Time. Yeah, I had about a month, so I had enough, or maybe 6 weeks. But so, yeah, I was like,
you know, remember at the very first of this, he told me don't.
Yeah, he told you not to, which made me think I don't want to get it. I don't want to get the vaccine because I was like, you just want science to let it flush itself out and see what's going to happen a little bit. I think a lot of people felt that way. But for me, it was, he told you not to get it because he didn't know enough yet. And then once he got to the point where it felt like where he said he knows enough to say, it's good for you, it's safe for you. Well, then I know it's safe enough for me. Like, you know,
it's not that the
doctor, I'm not healthier than you by any stretch, but I don't have immune deficiency the way you do.
Right. And it's not that the doctors in Kansas don't know what they're talking about.
No, 100%.
There are specialized doctors everywhere, but he's in California. He works for a medical group that I feel like is very in front of things. They do a lot of, they just treat a lot of chronically ill people.
Well, and I mean,
specialize in functional medicine, internal medicine.
Yeah.
And
he does, I mean, with you specifically, right? Lyme, Babesia, all the things. And he was treating you when no one in Kansas would.
Yeah.
So
there's also the big giant companies like Mayo Clinic couldn't figure it out.
Right. Lyme disease has come a long way in that 10 years.
Yeah.
And so, but my point in general is well, I'm just saying the 10 years we've been together more than anything else. But for me, it was really a lot of, my doctor's great here in town. He's great. And for a normal person who's, you know, 50 something, you're 40 something.
Oh my God, you're in your 50s now.
I know.
Well, you're not technically in your 50s now.
I mean, I am 50, so I am in my 50s.
No, you're 50. You're not in your 50s.
Semantics. So my doctor's really good, and for the, you know, an average person in their 40s and 50s or whatever going to see your doctor, these guys know what the fuck they're talking about. They know way more about your body than you do, that's for sure, right? Yeah, it's not just normal shit, you know, I mean. So, but this guy who you've been working with for a long time really knows his stuff, and he did give us a regime in the beginning for supplementation that we took every day. When I was still going to the office every day. Just so nobody probably knows this, I've talked about it before, but I went to the office in February, March, April, May, June, July of the beginning of COVID in 2020. Like, I went every day. I was beside herself. I sent my team home probably in early March. I went to the office every day. And it was a requirement of the company that I go to the office every day. There wasn't a lot of flexibility, and but
did they eventually all go? It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. I believe
anyway,
so. Everybody at that time, like when I sent my team home, a lot of people sent their teams home.
Yeah. or this medical group that I suppose, well, I don't know why we're being quiet about it. It's the Holtorf medical group, but they saved my life. And so I trust them obviously with it. Mm. I trust what they say, and yep. I'm going to go off of what he says over anybody else because he's just a brilliant man, and I hope he never retires.
Yeah, he's done a great job. So shout out to those folks because, I mean, honestly, I got the vaccine based on their saying it was okay. I didn't pick which vaccine. I mean, we didn't ask them which one.
I did.
We did our.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
I did.
We did our own, like anybody, right? We researched it and.
He told you one of two. He said one of two, and you got the one that we both had already been leaning towards anyway.
Yep. Yeah. We're
so
about that stuff right now, but.
So I called them last week and I talked to his nurse and I said, I have positive COVID and here are all my symptoms. And she said, I know exactly what you're talking about. My whole family had it last year. And then she called me back and they sent me some meds and
you've been taking that ever since.
Yeah. And I mean, God, how easy is that? You call your doctor, you say you're sick. Here's what happened. And then they send
you
meds.
I tell you what, the medical, this is a real, real high caveat. The medical industry has been trying to shift for a while now into telemedicine and virtual. Massively. I mean, because it's so much less expensive for them and therefore you. And faster, maybe. You know, yeah, so you can get into an office and actually talk to somebody, not be in a waiting room and all that. So,
I mean,
but COVID has
a dot on our appointment time, and it's almost 20 minutes exactly on the dot, and then it's done, and then all the other people call to follow up with payment or with dispensary or supplements.
But I'll say this, COVID obviously has flipped business on its head. Its supply chain's totally fucked right now. Pricing, inflation, all these things are happening because of it. But also, the way in which we all want business done with us has changed. Delivery, virtual, whatnot, right? Telemedicine now is a thing. It's legit. It's happening. They push the pedal to the metal really well. Not all are necessarily doing it right or wrong. Doesn't make a difference. But the availability of it is way better than it would have been before COVID.
I think they want people back in the office now, but they have so many clients that are all over the nation that they're very flexible as far as...
Yeah.
Because I usually see him, I have to see him once a year. That's why I go to California once a year. Yeah. So, but
also normal people, normal doctors now, as part of the services, they offer virtual because they realize not everybody wants to come to the office. Now, you still have to get a physical every year, but if you're like, hey, I'm sick, I'm not coming to the office, I don't know if I got the flu or COVID. But you're gonna you want a virtual appointment because you know, like maybe you just need an antibiotic or something simple. Yeah, exactly.
You know
exactly. They can fucking do that over, you know, and it's fine. And you can get your shit delivered too. So except for a home COVID test.
I can't imagine how anybody tells the difference between the common cold, the flu, and COVID. In a case like mine, it was a little bit different just because my lungs were affected so much and being able to take a deep breath. So here's the thing. A lot of what I've read and a lot of people I've talked to that have had it say, like, I can't go outside when it's cold. It hurts to breathe. Hurts to breathe. And I felt good to go outside and slowly take a deep breath. And when I say deep, that's really like 50% of what a regular deep breath would be. And at the worst of it, I can barely do that at all.
Yeah, and just walking outside and coming back, you're winded. You need to sit down when you're out,
for sure.
So your capacity is not very good.
It just feels like you just feel like you're going to pass out because you just know there's not enough oxygen flowing. But
did you get the oxygen thing out?
We don't even have one, do we?
Yeah, for the kids.
Oh, no, that we have for the incubator for the puppies, we have an oxygenator and you know what? I was going to get it out. I was like, if I'm still this bad the next day, I'll get it out. Yeah. But I never did. I was too fucking tired.
Yeah. And my mom did recommend we get like a thing to test the oxygenation of
that's
your
what I
body.
Thought
you were saying. Yeah, we didn't do that either.
I think that's probably a good idea.
Probably would have been a good idea.
How low my oxygen levels were. At the worst of
it'd have been interesting if nothing else.
I know, right?
Yeah.
What did I say was the most fascinating? Oh, the most fascinating part of the whole thing is the taste and smell. The newfound respect I have for all things texture. Yeah, By the way, I've been obsessed with HGTV, DIY Network. Oh. I bet I remodeled this house in my head 75 times over the past 4 or 5 days. So I kind of forgot there was a whole bunch of other things I wanted to watch on other channels. But, man, I've watched so many episodes of...
I don't think your brain was productive enough to watch something that was, like, educational or, you know, audiobook to, like, really, like, yeah. do that. Because you have to, like, pay more attention, like... The two positives were you basically remodeled our project house and this house in your brain, and two, you being downstairs forced me to hook FaceTime up on my Mac so that we could actually see each other when we talk. So, because you're on a phone, an old phone, and I can't install Zoom on it, so I had to figure something else out. I'm sure I could, but probably not your phone because, you know, you have capacity issues.
I pay extra now, so I have more capacity.
Still, either
it's
way.
Only because I can't clear.
I would have to go downstairs and do that, which I was not going to do.
I haven't cleared off the videos and stuff. So. We're still trying to get the YouTube channel for the puppies going, but that would require me to sit around for weeks on end not doing anything, and I just didn't think about that until today, now.
So, like I said, your brain hasn't exactly been like in. You know, productive mode
like
for a couple of weeks.
This is what I'm going to say for the next week.
I think
or
on
two.
Tuesday, I mean, honestly, I'm Wednesday on the day before Thanksgiving when you first got really bad. I'm surprised you could drive. I mean, frankly,
I'm standing in this lady's driveway and we're talking and sometimes I meet people that I want to talk to. Like they're in a Jeep club and so we were talking about Jeeps and this and that, whatever. And partway through, I kept walking to my car, and then I would open the door, and I was standing in the door, and she just kept talking. You know, she's retired, so she has nothing to do all day, and her husband was at work. And halfway through that conversation, I was like, okay, I'm really fucking tired. And I had another place to go, and I can't go there. I got to go straight home. I dropped the dog at the project house, so I had to go pick the dog up and then get on the road. And mm-hmm. that was about as far as I could make it that day.
Yeah. So there you go. There's our COVID experience last couple of weeks, catching everybody up on all the shit going down up here.
So it's not been exciting.
Lava land.
And the one last thing I wanted to say was, how did you... aside from you just being really busy and you just getting an extra chance to work because I was taking care of the dogs while I was sick and all that,
yeah.
How were you feeling about knowing that it's in here as the outsider?
Yeah. It made me nervous knowing it was in here. Like I told Tana I didn't want her to touch. She wanted to cook something. She was going to make salad. I was like, I don't want you touching my food. Like, I don't think you were. So you were sick and I really wanted you to just stay downstairs, but that would have meant I would have had to been able to take care of you more than I could. And there were a few days there. It got so busy basically from like noon to five. I was booked meetings straight through. That I couldn't make you lunch. I couldn't, you know, have snacks ready. Like I couldn't deliver things. You know, I didn't really deliver anything downstairs, but you know, have it ready. I just couldn't do any of that stuff.
You would get it all ready and leave it on the ground and say it's ready, and I would come upstairs and pick it up, and I would go back downstairs.
Yeah. So I didn't have the time to do all those things, which meant you had to come up here and do some of that stuff, and. I did. I was like flat out, like, I don't want you touching my food. And because I'm really trying to be diligent about washing my hands and stuff. And you've got a cough and your nose is running, you got a fever and all these things. And you're trying to take care of yourself. And I'm sure that you're not washing your hands enough just because you got so many germs on you. You know, you're sick and you can't help it. So I was just really like nervous about that. And I obviously slept up here instead of downstairs with you after you tested positive. But
you should have not, those 5 days, you shouldn't have been anywhere near. We should have started that at the beginning.
Yeah, I can't imagine what your mental state would have. Let's talk about this part. This part we didn't. I can't imagine your mental state if I'd have been upstairs for the 5 days prior to you testing positive.
You put on a mask and took off when I didn't see you for a week. Like, fucking, I'm out of here. Bye. And then I was like,
I didn't figure out nothing.
You've been sitting here with me for 5 days while I'm dying. Now that I'm feeling better and then testing positive.
You weren't feeling better. It was the worst day was the day you tested positive. Well, the day, maybe the day before, but that's okay. 24 hours before. I mean, Jesus, it wasn't like it was forever. But either way, yeah, I probably should have isolated the moment you started getting fevers, for sure.
Thursday, you know, Thanksgiving day, you should have been up.
But at the same time, I don't know if you'd have made it if I wasn't down there helping you. And because I'm just basically making you take stuff, like drink this. Like I was just, you know, like the whole time. So that first week, especially
when I had surgeries and things like that.
Yeah.
My mom was the caretaker. She would write a notepad from the moment surgery was out, and like 3 p.m. pain med, 11 p.m. you can have this, and so I had a calendar and a schedule and whatever. You don't do that. You're just like, here, take it. And then hours later, I'm half in a coma, and I'm like, what? What can I take? I need to take something. What time did I take something? You're like, I don't know. When did you take it? I'm like, I'm the fucking sick one. You need to write down what the fuck time you gave me what and when I took what. Because on Sunday, when the day I tested positive, I took Aleve, ibuprofen, Tylenol, Dayquil. I took everything all at the same time. I didn't give a shit. I just didn't care. Fuck it. I'll deal with my kidneys and my liver later. Right now, I just have to breathe and get rid of this headache. Like, that's it.
So let's talk about if your mental state wasn't good in the middle of this deal. You were having a tough time being alone. And
the thing is I like to think that I like to be alone. I can spend several days by myself.
Yeah, every time you say that I don't even say a word because you're bullshit, but I let you say it because you really believe it. It's not true, but you do believe it. So we're not gonna get into that right now. No, that's not it. No, I think actually I'm high on the list of people you want to take a break from.
No, that was sometimes. Me this morning.
I did.
You have shut up since we got coffee, so I gotta go upstairs.
I did. I need to ease into this a little bit. One, haven't had any coffee yet, and two, I
forgot what it was like to be in the same room with me for extended periods of time.
Marriage is awesome. So yeah, I was like, I just needed a little minute, but. You had some tough times, and if it wasn't for our friends checking up on you, frankly,
I mean,
and my mom like texting you, like
your stepmom,
our friends,
some friends that you just don't even think about, like thank you to everybody who has checked on me.
Let's just say that. Shout out to all our friends and family that checked up either with me on how she was doing or with her. And just I told you flat out, like, you need to call, you just text people, entertain yourself, talk to people, because
well, talking was really hard for a while.
Yeah, for sure.
You could do a sentence and then you'd have to rest. Yeah. And it was like not worth talking to
your
people,
cousin but... and beta tester were both great about they talked to you a lot. Which has been great. So I really appreciate that. But I really appreciate all of our friends that have checked up on you during this time. We're both surprised at some of the people who have and some of the people who have not. We're not gonna talk about that, but we are both surprised by that, probably more than anything else. And as well as like you actually being sick. But as far as the other side of it, But your mental state had some tough days. You were lonely down there. It was difficult.
It was more just because you took off. I'm not offended by you taking off.
We had a very honest talk. You said, we need to do whatever is best for me staying healthy right now because I have a job where I don't have the same kind of flexibility you do.
Yeah.
And I need to go, you know, like I need to keep things going. And I'm vaccinated, so it's a little different, but at the same time, we don't want to put that to the test. There's plenty of people who are getting sick that are
vaccinated.
So we didn't want to test that either.
Breakthrough cases.
So that's why we did what we did. But
this year's Thanksgiving was a little different. Honestly, I
I said it's a great meal.
I said to you, we had charcuterie boards because this year it's all about charcuterie boards.
And days of charcuterie.
Apparently the air fryer, but we're not getting one of those.
No.
I still don't know how to use the Instapot.
No.
But this year's Thanksgiving, we were going to do a Thanksgiving post or a Thanksgiving episode and all these things because we are around the time of our 1 year anniversary of doing the podcast. We missed our 50th episode, so we're at like 53 or some shit.
Shut up.
But
1 year.
I told you a few days into it, I just was like, I'm just relieved that I can get it and survive and not be hospitalized.
Yep.
And yeah, I think that was the biggest thing for me.
It's hard to focus on that as being the positive. But it is. That is the positive of it all.
And then my friends.
You survived COVID. They should give you like a badge or a tattoo or something that you could get that says, I survived COVID.
They should.
Yeah. Maybe there should be an official insignia. You have
a tattoo.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Maybe I have a thyroid tattoo and everybody laughs at me about it. But maybe there's like the way that the germ looks on a microscope kind of tattoo in there. There's some kind of something in there. I'll have to get my artist on it.
Anyway, so I don't think you could have made it through 2 weeks of COVID isolation because of the mental side more than anything else. I don't know if I could have either, to be honest, truth, because it was hard.
You were going into the colonoscopy, and they didn't let me see you before you went in there.
I was nervous about it because you're like,
it's still
any kind of medical procedure, yeah. I'm not a fan. So just so we're clear, it doesn't matter if they're shoving something in your ass or not. It is not my favorite place to be. When I got kidney stones, was the same way. It's not my favorite place. So you get nervous right in the moment. And I will say this about colonoscopy. This is the only thing I want to talk about in this episode.
Oh,
release.
Yeah, because we can't talk about poop.
Is normally when I have had medical procedures, right, they give me the beginnings of the anesthesia before you even leave to go into the procedure.
It's like a Valium.
Yeah, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But I'm out before I even hit the medical room. Like, I don't see shit.
You don't remember anything. I remember.
I don't remember everything.
Yeah.
But this time, you get all the way in the room and situated. Roll over on your side, do this, I have a mask on the whole time. They're like, you can take your mask off in here. It's fine. And I was like, yeah, maybe not. But anyway, I got all the way in there before they started that process. So I don't want to see the medical equipment. You know what I mean? I want to be.
You don't want to feel how cold.
Out of mind, out of sight, out of mind on this scenario.
Do you remember them like turning off the lights or anything?
Yeah, I remember the lights going down.
That's pretty much it. Like, okay, good night. And no, you're like,
well, they got me on the table and situated and everything, and they were plugging all the stuff on me, you know, to monitor the hearts and all the things, and the board of my vitals was right in front of me. I'm like, yeah, and then the doctor was the anesthesiologist or what, you know, nursing anesthesiologist, whichever it was, he was cool. He was really cool, and
the doctor was cool too.
My doctor was not the same guy.
I know, but we talked to him.
He was a young guy. Yeah, he's young.
You were
yeah.
fun afterwards.
He was younger than me.
You were fun coming out of anesthesia.
I was fun coming out of this one. I was really fun. Anyway, I didn't see him. At this point, at least, right? I'd already seen him like in the waiting or prep room or whatever. But we started chatting. The anesthetist, right?
Nurse.
So we started
the first
chatting.
Time you've ever successfully
said that word. That's not an easy one for me. We were chatting, and then he was like, "Okay, here's how we're gonna do this. I'm gonna, you know, deep breaths, and I want you to count, and blah 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 blah." And then I was out. But I'd been in the room for like 5 minutes at that point, so I had seen way too much medical. And I was like, they don't understand me. I don't want to see shit.
You don't even want the IV.
I don't
you
look.
Just put me under without the IV.
Fuck yeah. I don't want to see. I don't want to shot.
Well,
you,
normally they take
I don't move. Back. Once they put that thing in, I don't move. That arm is not moving. It's not. I'm not moving the hand.
But
with
the IV,
nothing.
A weird spot. They put it in your arm like you're like you're drawing blood. It's weird.
And it's the opposite arm for where I normally give blood, you know, for blood drawing and stuff. So you can't see the vein in that arm at all. Whereas the left arm, it's really obvious. So I always use the left arm. And she goes in with the right. I'm like, oh, this is, she better be fucking pro, because this is, I mean, this, I'm going to be the guy that's like, oh, I might pass out if this goes badly, you know. She's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just not fucking moving. Like, she's like, you can relax. We're done. I'm like, nope, I don't think you understand. I'm fucking moving.
IV, and then they pull me back and they're like, okay, say goodbye or whatever. They didn't do that. So start to finish, the whole thing was like 25 minutes.
Yeah, they were busy and backed up that day, I think. And we...
You were not comfortable.
I was not comfortable that they did not bring you back beforehand.
I want to... We talked about this on the way home that day. I want to have these like ER stories, not the sad ones, but these ones that are funny, the anesthesia stories, because you came out of it.
I think you were waking up. Tell medical stories. Yeah. I think it should be a podcast for you, host guests, medical stories, because for this exact reason.
Because they were pulling me in there as you were waking up, and
I was funny.
You were like trying to grab at me.
Yeah.
And I was on the wrong side of the table, so I had to walk on the other side of the table, and you're like, you're trying to pull your mask down, and you're sticking your face out like a little puppy dog trying to give me a kiss. I was like, I didn't know what you were trying to do.
Yeah.
And
she's super affectionate at this point. It's like, what the fuck do you want?
You were.
I was a little needy. I was.
Out. Didn't get to say. You just.
I didn't get to see you before I went in.
Yeah. You pulled me over to tell me how normally I'm there right before you go in, and I wasn't. And it made you kind of scared.
It made me nervous.
That was very sweet.
Yeah. It made me nervous.
That feels like a long time ago.
It sure does.
Not get COVID again. Actually, you know what else I want to say about all this? If I went to the doctor, I feel like I would be an Omicron test. I would be an Omicron, the first Kansas Omicron test from the Germany lady. Yes.
Yeah, you think you got the Omicron?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I sincerely believe that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know shit about the Omicron versus any other ones, but everybody's worried about it, but the timing is very interesting.
Very, very peculiar. All right. Well, we wanted to catch up.
Post-COVID. There you go, people.
Because that's why we didn't have
Thanksgiving episode. Thank you again for those of you that checked up on her while she was sick. Really appreciate that. So
thank you to my friends and the family members that text me and checked on me. And my trice that took care of me and my dogs for not getting sick, even though...
They did a good job taking care of
them. They really did. I've got a couple of them that will not leave me alone.
The two mommies especially were both like very, very mommy-ish.
They're smothering me a little bit at this point.
I can see how they might be.
But it's so anyway, that's all. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Later, people.
Later. Thank you.